This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kaysen. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kaysen.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. We are right here, 790 a.m. in Los Angeles, and I am Alan Gervie, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a fine law firm in Sherman Oaks, California. And here I am. I'm here to be the managing partner of your life today. And I'm supposed to be here with my wonderful, beautiful, intelligent, lovely co-host. She only wishes she was here to hear that. But she called in sick today. How do you call in sick to a radio show? You can't be sick. You're on Gervie's Law. You got to be here. But Kerry Kaysen is not. She's sick. She had some bad food or something. I feel bad for her. She just couldn't make it. She couldn't answer the bell. So here I am. I'm running solo, and hopefully Kerry will be with us next week. Last week, she, of course, was here, and we had a fun show with the Hansons, Amani Hansen, a fertility lawyer, and Poselio Hansen, former Philadelphia Eagles 10-year NFL veteran. What an interesting show that was. And we are really going to switch things up this week. No fertility law, no NFL football. This week, we are going to talk about guns. We're going to talk about the lawsuit, Tyler Watson versus Walmart. Of course, many of you may not know it by name, but know it by hearing about it. It's been in the news. That's the lawsuit of the 20-year-old plaintiff, Tyler Watson, who sued Walmart and Dick's Sporting Goods for the refusal to sell him a rifle. And we're going to talk to the attorney for Tyler Watson, Max Whittington. And we will talk about those lawsuits and what's going on with that. Later on in the show, it's really interesting. We're going to talk to Jed Rothstein. Jed Rothstein is the writer and director of The China Hustle. It is a film that has just been released, and it is about a Chinese stock scam that may just involve you, investors in the United States of America. It is kind of a sequel to The Big Short, and I love that movie, The Big Short. So if you liked The Big Short, you want to hear about the China Hustle, because Jed is going to tell you how a lot of investment firms and investors have been maybe fraudulently getting Chinese companies involved in investments, and perhaps maybe they are part of a pension plan that you may be involved in, and you'll see the way that the system has been set up to allow this kind of strange misuse of investors' money. And Jed will tell us all about the film. It is getting rave reviews. You don't want to miss it if you're interested in it. But that's later in the show. Let's get started with guns. You know, an area that just hasn't been talked about enough. I would love to see the media, you know, start talking about guns. They just haven't been talking about it enough. And I'm being facetious because that's all we hear about. But it's interesting because this lawsuit with Tyler Watson has really, really piqued the interest of the public. And I want to welcome to the show right now, to Gervie's Law, Max Whittington. He is an attorney at Cobble, Cobble and Selvig, and he is representing Tyler Watson on this lawsuit. Max, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hello. Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. So let's talk a little bit about this. First of all, how did you get involved in this? I know you do a lot of litigation, but here you are in the middle of a very well-known lawsuit now, and I guess there's a couple of them, one against Walmart and one against Dick's, and it's been controversial to say the least. Why you, Max? Why are you in the middle of this?
Well, to tell you the truth, I kind of just fell into this. You know, I work at Cobble, Cobble & Selvig, which is a pretty well-known firm here in Southern Oregon, and it just happened to be that my client, Tyler Watson, was denied the purchase of a rifle at both Dick's and Walmart, and he sought us out. And once I heard his case and looked at the discrimination laws here, I felt he had a strong case, and I decided to take it.
Now, it's interesting that you say the discrimination laws, because you know a lot of people will not believe that you are taking on a popular cause, but you're a lawyer and you're looking at the discrimination laws, not necessarily making a political statement. Would that be a fair description of what's going on in this case?
Yeah, absolutely. These are discrimination cases at heart. I mean, they're completely based on the Oregon statutes that prevent age discrimination in public accommodations. Guns are kind of tangential to that, although I will admit that I'm a gun rights supporter for whatever good that does.
Well, I'd imagine you would be a gun rights supporter because, you know, a lot of people say, you know, if you're going to sue, let's say, a tobacco company and you're a big smoker, it's a little harder sometimes. And some lawyers, you know, they don't care. They will take on whatever cause. They're basing their arguments on the law, not on the substance. But a lot of other lawyers will say, hey, you know, if I'm against guns or if I think there needs to be regulation or if I'm against people under 21 having a rifle, then I'm not going to be that advocate. So I'm glad you made that clear that you are. Are you a supporter of the NRA and all of the issues that have come to the media in recent past?
Well, I'm not a member of the NRA, but certainly I support their positions on a lot of things. And just in general, I support gun rights and I support anti-age discrimination. I support the rights of 18 to 20-year-olds.
So when you talk about age discrimination, why in the heck is Walmart and Dick's taking it upon themselves to, in your view, I'm sure, violate the law by not selling a gun to a 20-year-old when there's, according to the lawsuit, there's no law in the books that would say that they can't or that they shouldn't sell it to a 20-year-old?
Right, yeah, it's really just based on their own sense of morality, their own public policy. But in the state of Oregon, the legislature has already made that determination. They've already found that discrimination on the basis of age should be illegal. And so these companies can't just substitute their own morality for the findings of the Oregon legislature.
And do you think that's all it is? It's an issue of morality that they are saying that they don't want people under 21 to buy a gun, so they are not going to sell them, whether it's legal or not?
Well, that's what they say. Of course, I think there's an element of public relations in that as well. Frankly, Walmart, Dick's, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're trying to say that they're doing something about the problem while really just discriminating against a very discreet minority of people and a minority of people that, frankly, don't commit most gun crimes or a heightened level of gun crimes.
Do you believe that there should be regulations or laws on the books that prevent someone under 21 from purchasing a rifle?
I do not think that there should be a law on the books. Of course, that's up to the state legislature to decide, but at this point, they've indicated that an 18-year-old should be able to purchase a rifle or a shotgun in the state.
And what's the argument that your defendants are pursuing against your lawsuit?
Well, they haven't filed answers yet. From what I've heard, we had a preliminary injunction hearing just this week. We didn't win that because the judge wasn't convinced there was irreparable injury at this point, but he did state pretty directly that he feels we have a good case in the merits going forward.
Explain that, because a lot of listeners who aren't lawyers won't understand the details of the hearing.
So the quickest way to stop these discriminatory policies from going forward is to get a temporary restraining order and or a preliminary injunction from the court, forcing them to stop immediately. But to do that, you not only have to show the court that you're likely to win on the merits of the case, you have to show that there's a real risk of irreparable
harm.
And immediate harm. Yeah.
Right. And what did the judge say?
The judge said he thought we had a very good chance to win on the case. He wasn't convinced that there was irreparable harm, simply because my client is able to purchase a rifle at another store. I argued, of course, that the injury to his rights was immediate and irreparable, but that argument didn't win the day at this point. But still, I'm confident that we'll be successful, ultimately, at summary judgment.
Has he purchased a gun at a different store?
To my knowledge, he has not purchased a gun at a different store.
Now, did he do this only for the legal case, or was he really interested in purchasing a rifle and couldn't do it?
No, he was really interested in just purchasing a Ruger 10/22. I think that's the most popular 22 rifle on the market, and he simply wasn't able to do so.
And was this something that he had tried at other places, or had he just gone to Dick's and to Walmart?
He just walked into Dick's on the very day, the 28th of February, that they announced this new policy. And they told him they wouldn't sell him a gun. Several days later, he went to Walmart. Again, they told him they wouldn't sell him a gun. To my knowledge, he hasn't tried at any other gun stores.
Now, we have to take a quick break, Max. I want to talk to you after the break a little bit about what's going to happen with this lawsuit. Because obviously, there are a lot of people who do not support you and your client for what you're trying to do. But again, you know, they're not the law and they're not the courts. So I want to talk to you after the break about where you see this going.
Sure.
You're listening to Gurry's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation drops into the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. You can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. Call 855-858-5807 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now at 855-858-5807 and get a free gold IRA guide. Call 855-858-5807.
It's a great time to let go with the Samsung Spring for Something New event.
We came to party and we won't go home.
Upgrade and save on the latest Samsung appliances, like the Family Hub refrigerator and the Flex Wash and Flex Dry Laundry Pair. Upgrade to Samsung appliances today and get up to $500 back. Shop now at your local retailers or Samsung.com. $500 Visa reward cards. Requires purchase of 3 or more appliances over $5,000 in online plan. Excludes Chef Collection. See Samsung.com for terms.
At CVS Pharmacy at Target, we put a little extra heart into everything we do, like actively looking to save you money. Generics, 90-day refills, even rewards. Get a $5 Target coupon for every 10 prescriptions. On your next Target run, stop by CVS Pharmacy. We're the place with the big heart. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other restrictions apply. See cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
Don't miss Macy's Men's Designer Suit Event. With 70 to 85% off best-selling wardrobe essentials, like Tommy Hilfiger wool suiting, just $119.99. Find the designer names and styles you want in suits, sport coats, and dress pants. $29.99 to $149.99. And complete your look with dress shirts and ties, just $19.99. Upgrade your style at Macy's Men's Designer Suit Event, in-store and at Macy's.com. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasin now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, I'm that friend giving you common sense advice. And we are talking about guns today. We're talking to Max Whittington, who's an attorney at Cobble, Cobble & Selvig. And he is representing the plaintiff against two big, large companies, Walmart and Dick's Sporting Goods. Tyler Watson is the 20-year-old who tried to buy a rifle and was refused because both stores had policy not to sell it to someone under 21 years old. And of course, this comes in the wake of the shooting at Parkland, Florida High School, where 17 people were killed and the shooter was a 19-year-old. So clearly there's an emotional issue here where people are saying that someone under 21 years old should not be able to buy a gun. I'm not sure that's what Dick's and Walmart is saying, but they are saying that they're not going to sell the gun to the 20-year-old Tyler Watson. Now, Max, when we talk about what happened in Parkland, Florida, isn't it something that concerns you that people under 21, and of course, a killer can be of any age, but people specifically looking at this lawsuit saying, this is just too close and too emotional to what happened to a lot of kids in Parkland, Florida?
Right. Well, first of all, of course, the events that happened at Parkland are tragic. Nobody would say that they aren't. And I have a lot of sympathy for the families and everybody involved. That being said, I don't think that there's good evidence that adults aged 18 to 20 are more likely to commit mass shootings than any other age demographic. And so I don't think it supports a broad discriminatory policy against a group of adults who, for the most part, have committed no crime. Simply based on, one very tragic event. In fact, since 2009, I believe there's only been two mass shootings done with a rifle by somebody aged 18 to 20, and in one of those cases, the rifle was stolen. So,
Have you actually done the research, or is that something that as a lawyer you need to present as part of your lawsuit, or is that going to be sending the wrong message as to what your lawsuit is based on when you talk about an anti-discrimination lawsuit versus the age that people, mass shooters, are throughout the history of mass shootings in the United States?
Well, it goes to me addressing what I believe the defense ultimately is going to be in this case, which is that these companies are going to argue that there's some public policy exception to the age discrimination laws. There isn't in the statute, but I think that's what they're going to ultimately have to argue.
And do you think they're going to have to come up with some research to show that someone under 21 is going to be less responsible with a rifle or a gun than someone over 21?
I think they're going to have to try to, but regardless of whether they can show that or not, my client is entitled to win simply based on the anti-discrimination statute as it currently stands. I should also mention that we're also bringing two additional cases against the Kroger company and they do business under the name Fred Meyer. And the sale of guns, and Bimar Corporation. There's another client of mine, Orion Grace. We recently filed those two suits in Washington County, Oregon.
Now, are you aware of any other lawyers who are representing? Now, you're representing Ryan Grace and Tyler Watson. Are you aware of any other attorneys representing other under 21-year-olds trying to buy guns?
Besides my co-counsel and myself, I'm not aware. I think these are the first cases in the entire nation that are addressing this issue.
And has the Ryan Grace cases been filed?
Ryan Grace. And yes, they were filed last week, and they were just served.
Have you had any responses from Fred Meyer?
Only notice of representation, no substantive reply.
So where are we going with this now? What do you expect will happen? Obviously, there are different lawsuits. They may go in different directions, but what do you expect to pursue? And then I want to talk a little bit about damages.
Sure. Well, what I expect to happen in the case is for all four defendants to ultimately file answers, and then we'll move for summary judgment. They'll probably move for cross-summary judgment. And I'm confident at that stage the court will find that the law clearly prohibits this kind of discriminatory policy, and will win at that stage.
And that's what you would expect on all the lawsuits. Now, if you're listening and you want to call in, it's 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. What kind of damages on a lawsuit like this are we looking at?
Well, we're asking for preliminary injunctions. preventing all four of the companies from discriminating at any location in the state of Oregon. We're also asking for punitive damages. I don't think that's likely, but of course we're asking for it.
Right.
These policies are clearly discriminatory, and they're unapologetically enforcing them. Also, attorney's fees. Under the statute, we're entitled to recover the attorney's fees we reasonably expended to be successful in the case.
Are the plaintiffs looking to receive any monetary damages other than what you've just mentioned?
No, they're realistic in acknowledging that probably we'll just be successful in getting injunctions and the restoration of their rights, which is ultimately what they want.
Which will give them the opportunity to buy the guns. Now, are you making any difference between automatic assault rifles and the guns and rifles that you mentioned in the Tyler Watson case?
No, there's no difference under Oregon law. There's a prohibition on the sale of handguns, obviously, under federal law. But under Oregon law, an 18-year-old can buy any rifle, shotgun, or ammunition for a rifle or shotgun.
And do you believe there should be differentiation, or are you on board with that law as it stands?
I don't think there should be a differentiation, but again, that's a public policy argument for the legislature. The judges in the four cases we've brought don't have the authority to determine that.
Have you had any backlash yourself or your law firm, Cobble, Cobble & Selvig? Have there been some, anti-gun advocates, regulations? Mm-hmm. Have they picketed you or sent you nasty emails or anything like that?
There's been nasty emails and some hate mail. I think you just have to take it with a grain of salt. You know, obviously this is a hot-button issue and everybody's emotions are high. I understand that, but to me this is a discrimination issue. Foremost.
So you're trying to avoid getting into any type of dispute with these people who are coming after. I don't know if the media is or anything. You keep refocusing it on the discrimination issue.
Yeah, ultimately that's what this is about. I don't want to get into a long, drawn out gun policy controversy with these people. That's not the purpose of these suits.
Well, you know, it certainly is interesting, and I'm not sure which way it'll go. As a lawyer, I kind of look at the law and I think that they have to be consistent in applying the facts to the law. And if the law is on your side, which it may in fact be, it may be a statutory change that is necessary. And I'm not sure if Dick's and Walmart and Kroger and whoever else, even if they have a policy differentiation from the law, are going to prevail in this. And I'm sure that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're confident that our cases are going to be successful. I think that there's going to be probably a string of these cases, both in the state of Oregon and in other jurisdictions around the country that have similar age discrimination laws.
Well, it makes sense. Well, you can keep us updated. We'll look for it in the news to see how it progresses. Any hearings coming up?
Not at this time, but the next step will be the summary judgment process, I believe.
And I'm sure you're looking forward to responses from the corporations, the companies, see what they say so that you can prepare for that.
Absolutely.
All right. Max Whittington, thanks for being on Gurvey's Law with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Take care.
You too.
You know, it's interesting because we're getting a lot of calls, and I know it's on the emotional issue of the guns, maybe not the lawsuit. Peggy's on the line from Pacific Palisades. Peggy, you listen to
Yes. Hi.
You listen to Max. What do you think about this lawsuit?
Well, what I think is that it's a show trial. It's, in other words, you have a 20-year-old who could have bought a rifle at 18 or 19, and he just happened to go in today, or the day that it was declared illegal. And the fact is, if he wanted a rifle, he could go to any other store or to a gun show or anything else. So it's clearly to make a legal point. I personally am opposed to someone under 21 being able to buy a handgun or a rifle. But what there was one other issue that interested me. I thought he said that the Oregon state law about age discrimination involved residents, which is not at all the same as a gun.
Involved what? Residents?
Residents. He said it was illegal to discriminate against a person under 21 on the basis of age.
Right.
Or residents. Yeah. So this is hardly residents.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about that, and I'm not sure that I follow, but you know, the thing about it is that I think you're right when you talk about the difference. And, you know, of course, you're with, I think, a lot of people, maybe the majority, who think that someone under 21 should not be given the opportunity. In fact, some people think that people under 40 or under 60 shouldn't be having the opportunities to get guns like they can in this country. And I'm not sure.
At least under 25, because people, it's been well shown that your brain doesn't even finish developing until you're 25.
And that may be something that goes into the responses by the companies, but I'm not sure that it's going to be relevant to this lawsuit, because it's really going to come down to the law and as it exists. And, you know, you make these good points about that's the law in Oregon. If that's the law, that's what's going to happen. But I think really what this may bring out, and maybe it's a good thing that the legislation may be changed. And, you know, you talk about it being something that's for show or for the media or whatever, because obviously he could get a gun if he wanted one. I'm sure there are people who will sell him one legally, but they're making these lawsuits. So maybe that will motivate the legislature to make some changes.
That would be terrific. You know, the kids at Columbine, they were, young. The guy at Newtown, he was young. I mean, I think that to say that there haven't been very many mass shootings with people under 21 is just not true.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. And it's always going to be a fear and a concern for everyone, especially in high schools. Peggy, thanks for calling. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, take care. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're going to switch it up. We're going to go from guns to China, and we're going to talk about the China hustle. After the break, we have Jed Rothstein joining us, whose documentary is coming out, actually coming out this weekend, Something Worth Listening, Hearing About. We will talk to Jed after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers, and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's Love Never Dies. This spellbinding, romantic sequel to The Phantom of the Opera comes to North America for the very first time. Don't miss Love Never Dies.
At the Hollywood Pantages Theater, April 4th through the 22nd.
Are you tired of ants invading your home, crawling up your walls, and all over your favorite patio furniture or swing set? Bonide's Revenge Ant Control products are the answer to your ant problems. Revenge is a full line of indoor-outdoor liquid and granular ant control products that will eliminate the entire colony, including the queen. Get revenge on those ants once and for all. Bonide's Revenge products are family-made in the USA and available at your local hardware store, garden center, or farm feed store. Or visit Bonide.com.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. President Trump has tweeted criticism of Governor Brown for using his pardon powers. Brown has been doing it for years around the Easter season, this year on Good Friday. Trump cited Fox News in the Brown tweet, implying he learned about the pardons by watching his favorite news source, a frequent inspiration for his tweets. At least 150 protesters of a Sacramento police shooting of an unarmed black man have cleared out after gathering for a rally that included the man's fiancée and young children. They all gathered at a downtown park this afternoon for a demonstration in the wake of the March 18th shooting death of Stephen Clark by two police officers. An autopsy commissioned by Clark's family and released yesterday shows police shot him in the back. KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon with highs from the lower to mid-60s at the beaches to the lower and mid-70s inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790, KABC.
Yes, I love that stuttering. It's either a glass is half full or it's Gervie's Law or it's something. Carrie Kasem isn't here. She's sick, but I'm going to try and get a hold of her later on in the show. I'm going to call her in her sick bed and see if she'll talk to me. We have an important story to talk about now because this is really scary. We're going to welcome to Gervie's Law right now, Dan David. Wait a second here. You guys are really screwing me up. I promoed Jed Rothstein, who is the producer-director of the China Hustle, and they're supposed to be doing the premiere, and now I'm getting the star of the show. Forget about the director-producer. Even though I prepped you on Jed Rothstein, it is Dan David. Dan David from the Philly Area Investors. He is someone who you really need to know about. Dan, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, how are you?
You're there. Amazing. We have been looking all over the city, all over New York, trying to find you, and you are doing the premiere of the China Hustle, and I've been just talking about it. How is the premiere going?
Well, it's getting ready to get started. We've been to several festivals. It's been received very well. It's a pretty shocking story.
Yeah, in Toronto
about
the film.
Breeding fraud.
Yeah, tell us about it, because I know in Toronto it was a big buzz at the film festival there.
Yeah, well, look, about 8 years ago, as an investor, like anyone else, I was intrigued by the China story and became an investor in China stocks and found that upon further review, peeling back not much, but peeling back some layers of the onion, you could find fraud out in the open, literally Potemkin villages of factories that they claim are robust factories producing tens of billions of dollars a year. And they're selling that story to American investors. And when the fraud is exposed, they keep all the money they've stolen.
But what about Dan, about the due diligence? What about the investment companies? What's going on with...
Yeah, what about that?
What are they doing? Is their intent to defraud?
I believe so. Well, certainly it's an asymmetrical proposition for a China-based CEO, right? If you steal up to $10,000 from a Chinese citizen, you can get the death penalty. But it's not illegal for a Chinese citizen to steal from an American citizen. And that bears repeating. Any China-based CEO is not breaking a law in China if they steal from Americans. And we have $1 trillion worth of their stock, market cap-wise, on our stock exchanges. And dozens and dozens have been exposed as frauds, and nothing's changed. I lobbied Congress for 3 years in a bipartisan way to ask for some common sense reform on this idea. And the only thing we've done bipartisan in Congress in 3 years is stiff arm me.
But what about regulations? Why are they not passing regulations to avoid? You know, China's been the news. And we hear about the tariffs. They can talk about tariffs. But what about for the investors and the sham companies that are being set up with China behind it?
Well, look, first of all, they have the same regulations on paper as we do. But if you're not criminally prosecutable, what does that regulation really mean?
Right.
So, I mean, that's the crux of the issue. You can have regulation, and if you're caught not following those regulations, you know, the worst thing that happens is that you get to keep the money that you stole.
Yeah.
The story writes itself. So, and it continues to this day.
The China Hustle has been said to be such an entertaining film. How was it possible to make this kind of, convoluted and complex labyrinth into this entertaining? It was called wildly entertaining, and they call you charismatic. David is the charismatic guy playing himself alongside other real-life skeptics. Why is this film so entertaining?
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, I didn't make the movie, and I disagree that I'm charismatic in any way.
Oh, come on.
I am just a normal guy. Look, I mean, maybe they find that an everyday person standing up to what's right and what's wrong, charismatic. To me, watching it is painful.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear people say nice things, but, you know, I lived that experience. I still live that experience. I deal with $100 million lawsuits on an, you know, biannual basis from these fraudulent companies who are really just suing me to hold up their stock price so they can take the rest of their money out and they drop their lawsuit. Yeah. Or to hassle me and things of that nature. I mean, you know, the first time I got served with a $100 million lawsuit, that's a bit more than I have. I've done well, but.
Yeah. But what about the fee-hungry U.S. investment bankers and brokers? Aren't they coming after you if they're being implicated? And don't they have a little bit of money and power to get you?
I mean, the line is long and distinguished, and they're welcome to jump in. I really don't care. I got cease and desist letters, you know, every week. I have the three things it takes to defend myself in a lawsuit successfully 100% of the time. Money, the truth, and money.
Right.
And I will use all three of those things every time.
And the truth really helps out sometimes. Never know when it's going to help. But you also have some other people like Mark Cuban involved in the film, Snoop Dogg. Isn't that helping out to give you some credibility and legitimacy when you fight these fat cats?
Well, I mean, Snoop Dogg was in a clip that was basically background footage. He's not in the film,
you're right,
per se, as a protagonist. Mark Cuban owns the film, and they're welcome to sue him too. Good luck storming the castle.
Yeah,
it's good to have people next to me getting sued for once.
That's true. Now it's been compared to The Big Short. Were you a fan of The Big Short, and how does The China Hustle compare?
I think the China Hustle, in the end, because the story's not over, and this is a fraud in progress. When you look at Madoff and some of these other fraud stories, it's a postmortem that says this is what happened, and this is in progress. And I think it's bigger. It's definitely bigger. Since 2008, China, as a policy and as a government, said, "Wow, you know, thank God we were largely detached from the U.S. economy in 2008, or they would have really hurt us with their financial crisis." Since 2008, they have done everything they can to attach themselves to the rest of the world. So when they have their financial crisis, we will have to help them out of it. Europe will have to help them out of it. And it's a very smart play on their part. But it's pretty obvious when you look at it from 30,000 feet instead of, you know, what's happening 20 minutes away from now.
Yeah, but do you think the present administration is going to be willing to help them out? Because it doesn't seem like it.
Well, I think that President Trump, I mean, you know, we could talk about presidents all day long, and most of this happened during the Obama administration, in all fairness.
Right.
The filming was during that administration, and I don't know if that makes him a good person or a bad person, and I'm not saying it does. And President Trump says some pretty salacious things at times. So what I tend to do is look at actions. And the actions of the past administration were to speak to China or Russia or bad actors that are trying to divide our country, say, you know, Republicans hate Democrats, Democrats hate Republicans, and it distracts us from the real enemies overseas. Obama would basically say, please stop doing that. It didn't work.
Exactly.
I mean, Trump may be going a little far, but he's definitely pushing the issue with the tariffs. He's definitely pushing the issue with North Korea. I mean, you know, we see these tweets about Little Rocket Man, and I have to admit, you know, they're a guilty pleasure. I know I shouldn't laugh at them.
Right, exactly.
But you look at the result of that, and you understand that China controls North Korea, and the result of that is now they want to talk, because what they had in a past administration is what they needed, predictability. And what they have in this administration is what they fear most, unpredictability.
And your company, Geo Investing, how does it play a role in all of this?
Well, it's a financial research firm. So, when we're contracted to do financial research, or I, you know, do it on behalf of myself, what surprises most people is some of the most salacious frauds that we expose started out as an idea we wanted to invest in.
Exactly.
And that we were just trying to better understand our investment before we put money into it, and then found fraud. And I think a lot of companies did this, but when they found fraud, they walked away because they don't need the hassle.
You know, it's funny, and when you say we, I thought you were talking about the royal we. You're talking specifically about your company, but it applies to so many other people, individuals, and companies.
It does. This is not about me. This is not about me, and it's not about one or two investment banks that may be in this movie. Not at all. I say in the movie that this is every bank. You could have really inserted bank here, you know, and found problems related to the due diligence in these China-based companies. And it's not something the SEC can control. I mean, the SEC does the best they can, but they can't do physical investigations in China. I mean, that would be a foreign government agent on foreign soil.
Exactly.
So that's why it's a congressional issue.
So what's going to happen if the China Hustle is the sequel to The Big Short? What's the sequel to the China Hustle?
I would say the sequel to the China Hustle is we told you so, and now we're going to have to bail China out.
And what about people's pension plans? What if people have been affected by lousy investments, and they're getting screwed, and they're going to lose all this money without even knowing?
Well, they already have. They already have. In my home state of Pennsylvania, you know, our PSERS, Public School Employee Retirement System, service, and SERS, the state employees, system, have all lost on these China frauds. And what's interesting is when you look at it, you know, both these retirement, funds are underfunded.
Yeah.
So when they have to get recapitalized, school taxes go up, property taxes go up, and income tax goes up. It affects everybody, and they don't know it. It's the biggest skim going on out there right now.
It absolutely has the domino effect that people don't even understand they're getting impacted by it. And people want to see the film because they need to understand a little more about what is going on and what the future is. How can people see The China Hustle?
Well, The China Hustle is in theaters in 15 cities, and it's on Amazon same day.
So it's available on Amazon as well. A lot of our listeners don't get out of their house, so they just sit there listening to Gervie's Law, and they're on Amazon. So you'll have to make sure that you catch it. You know, I am excited. I haven't seen it yet. It's coming out this weekend, and we really need to check it out. It's Dan David. He is, I would say, the protagonist, although you made a comment that you're not the knight in shining armor in this film.
Well, I say, you know, what you don't see off screen because editing is that the director says to me at one point, how does it feel to be the good guy in this movie? And I said, there are no good guys in this movie, including me. I was just doing my job. I wasn't raised to call myself a good guy for doing my job. I made money when people lost money, and that doesn't make me a good guy either. So it makes me very uncomfortable that somebody's pointing at anybody and saying you're a good guy. It's not for me to say.
But isn't exposing bad people and bad guys really making you a good guy in this?
Well, I think I was doing the right thing, and I was doing my job, but it just makes me uncomfortable to say when I make money and you lose money, I'm a good guy. I'm just doing my job.
Yeah.
And I think if we all just did our jobs, it wouldn't have to be about good guys and bad guys. It would be about a fair deal for us and for the Chinese. I have no animosity toward them. As a matter of fact, we taught them how to do this. I mean, a Chinese coal mine operation, you know, doesn't know how to, you know, defraud U.S. capital markets. They're taught how to do it by U.S. investors. So the problem is really over here as much as it is over there.
Yeah. David, when you talk about the shorting of these companies, that's really where you start seeing a lot of funny business and a lot of game playing.
Well, nobody took me seriously until I started shorting these companies. I did, you know, my first 2 years of looking into this, I went to government agencies and I said, this is what's going on. And, you know, I was just Joe Q citizen. It wasn't until I started crashing billion-dollar companies and making money that they were like, oh, okay, well,
yeah,
he matters then.
Yeah.
And my effort in Congress has been so frustrating that I decided to run for Congress. And I am, you know, currently in the 4th District of Pennsylvania, the only Republican on the ticket.
Well, good luck with that. It's Dan David of The China Hustle, The film has come out, and we'll look for it. And, you know, I hate to say it, but thank you for some of the good work. I know you don't want to take all the credit, but, you know, people want to know about these frauds. People want to know about the system that is stealing their money and creating a real hardship for a lot of people, especially when you talk about pension plans. So I know you don't want to be the hero or the white knight, but you are doing some good.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'll accept that.
All right, take it as it is. Enjoy the premiere. Dan David.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to try and get Carrie Kasem on the phone because we were worried about her, see if she's feeling okay. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you just won a dance-off competition that saved the world.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon from the first fill. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation drops into the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. You can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. Call 855-858-5807 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now at 855-858-5807 and get a free gold IRA guide. Call 855-858-5807.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company failed you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hey, you like free stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, KABC is on a mission to hook you up with tickets to the hottest concerts, comedy shows, movie premieres, theme parks, restaurants, gift cards, cash books, DVDs, hats, t-shirts, fans, money, Well, pretty much anything that we can get our hands on.
Gimme.
But it's four. Hang on a second. Before you can get your hands on these cool prizes, there are a couple of rules.
KABC on-air contests are open to legal U.S. residents age 18 or older at the time of entry who reside in Los Angeles, Orange, San Bernardino, Riverside, or Ventura counties.
Employees of Cumulus Media Holdings Incorporated, its parent company, affiliates, related entities, and subsidiaries, other radio stations serving the listening area, and immediate family members and household members of all such employees are not eligible to participate.
Listeners may only win once every 30 days. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Limit one entry per person unless otherwise stated.
A complete copy of the rules can be obtained by visiting KABC.com/contest-rules.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Wow, it's so exciting that when they introduce both hosts, Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem, I can actually say that Carrie will be with us. Carrie Kasem, we have been so worried about you. I started off the show, and of course you're not here in studio with
no.
me. But you're sick, and I wanted to call and see how you're doing. How are you doing?
I can't believe you're putting me on air.
You sound great. I really like it. It's very sexy.
It's fantastic.
What are you wearing?
Food poisoning. I'm literally in a t-shirt, and my cat is trying to lay on me, and he's just trying to lay on my stomach, and his hair is like cleaning himself, and it hurts. It literally hurts. I'm sure it's food poisoning or gluten, because I haven't had gluten in 8 years, so I had something in the food last night that has destroyed me. So
it was gluten poisoning?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking it's got to be something. It's like I'm in pain. It hurts.
Well, can you mention where you were eating so I'll make sure that I avoid going there?
No,
was it in Sherman Oaks, California?
I don't want to be sued. I do not want to be sued.
Oh, come on. For what you've said on the show in the past?
No way.
You think this is going to get you sued?
What if it was the meal before that?
That's true. Because we all know that one of the defenses to getting sued for defamation or slander or libel is the truth, right?
Yeah.
And some of the things you've said in the past on this show have actually been proven to be true, so you couldn't get sued for them. But as far as the food poison, we don't know what restaurant it was. And I'd like you to give us three different ones so we could boycott all three of them.
God, don't make me laugh.
Thank you, Carrie, for listening on your day off. Actually, it's not your day off. You're listening to the show, and you heard earlier where Max Weddington, is that his name? I forget his name. The attorney representing the 20-year-old kid, Whittington, who wants to buy guns. And you know I'm against guns. And this guy is a card-carrying, well, he said he wasn't a member of NRA, but he certainly is a gun supporter like you are. So I would assume that you were in full agreement with Max that Tyler should have every opportunity to buy a gun from Dick's and from Walmart.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand. You know, it's like I understand why these marches are taking place. I understand how people are fed up. It's not guns, you know, it's there's mental illness behind what is happening. And look, maybe there are some guns that should have stricter restrictions, but taking away guns from good people, I'm not even 5'5". I'm a small person. Somebody breaks into my home at night when I'm home, they're breaking in to hurt me. This isn't, you know, breaking in during the day to maybe steal my TV. If you're breaking into a house at night, I don't have any chance in hell unless I have a weapon. I don't. I can't defend myself. I'm not a fighter. So the only thing I could do is reach over and grab my .357, and that's the only hope I have. Does it mean it's like foolproof? No, but at least it gives me a chance. So to take away guns from Americans and to take away.
Well, what about from a 20-year-old? Do you think there should be an age? Because
I've been shooting guns since I was 12. So no,
you believe they should lower the age to 12 years old?
No, I believe that if you're 18 and over,
that should be sufficient.
If you're able to go into our armed forces, you know, you should be able to, you know, own a gun.
And by the way, a lot of people who are under 21 have a lot more sense of how to use things like, you know, social media and technology. And not that guns are necessarily technology, but we give them a lot of abilities and responsibilities. And you would think that some of them may be more responsible than older people who are frustrated, who are depressed, who are out of control, who are angry. They've had a life of failure and they're angry, or a life of disappointment. So maybe a 20-year-old, you know, they haven't had much time to get as pissed off as some of the older people.
I mean, that's interesting, but I think mental illness and anger and frustration can hit anybody at any age. And that's what we need to be looking at. It's not, you know, I mean, if it's not going to be a gun, they're going to find another weapon. You know, you can build bombs. You can do, you know, you can stab people. There's other ways of hurting people. And if you're that desperate and that angry and that, you know, mentally ill or whatever it may be at that time for that person, you're going to find a way to be destructive. You can use your car. You know, people use airplanes. You can find a way.
But sometimes it's easier just to use a gun. I mean, people who listen to the show know that I'm not a proponent of guns. And being from Canada, I'm just a little wimp who just wants to go and play hockey. And I'm not really into, you know, the weapons I use is a hockey stick. But, you know, I guess in this country, there's different people have different beliefs. And I always think about the law and think about what the law allows for. I think the legislation has to be pursued by people who want regulations and want gun laws to change. And
I'll tell you what will happen when that happens. If that ever does happen, if we ever take the guns out of the good people's hands, you're never going to stop the bad people from having them. Never. And what you're going to find is a whole lot more tragedy
and a whole lot more killing, because the bad people are going to know that nobody's armed. And you find that in states where they do not allow you to protect yourself. You find that in states where you're not allowed to carry a gun, you're not allowed to protect yourself. You find more gun violence. Statistically, it's proven that the gun laws in, you know, if you look at, you know, where you're allowed to carry, you're allowed to own a gun, you're allowed to protect yourself. The stats for violent crimes are down.
Carrie, I know you're lying in your bed with your cat on your tummy, but I have to stop you. You know, if you were here, you'd see that the show's over and you just want to talk to me. I don't agree with anything you say, but I respect your ability and your opinion. And what I respect more is the fact that you came on the show in the last couple minutes to tell everyone that you're okay, you're doing well. We expect to see you back here next Saturday.
Yeah, I will be there.
We wish you a very speedy recovery. I miss you, and I want to see you next week.
I miss you, too. I'm bummed I missed it, but next week for sure.
Next week. We're going to have a great show next week, and we're going to have to close it now. So take it easy, and we'll see you next week. And for everyone else, have a great week, and thanks for listening.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.